I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
Welcome to Knockout Radio. We are live from Tournament de Pizza.
What's your special today?
Taco, but don't tell anybody.
I heard him. Somebody asked him. Listen to me. Somebody asked him about the special, why he doesn't use the board. Yeah. Like most restaurants, he goes, because then I'll be locked into it.
Yeah, I don't want to commit. That commitment's way too
much. What do I feel like making a day?
Nah. Like I just want people to know I have diversity, but I don't want to actually use it.
Okay. Okay.
That's all it is.
So,
I'm a pizza guy. I don't lose my identity.
I want your opinion on this. Nate Diaz, he had a tweet, you know, saying the UFC should release him or let him go fight, you know, what's his face? Jake Paul.
Right.
Right. And Dana was basically just like, you know, at this point, just go. You haven't been winning anyway. Do you think it's just like a kind of like a peacocking thing back and forth between the two of them? Or do you think he's really going to let him go fight Jake Paul?
I don't think I think this is just me. I think he would let him fight Jake Paul before he lets him leave.
Yeah.
Because then the UFC's involved in it.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think he's going to release him.
Yeah.
Let him go and then go do Jake Paul or any other fight.
Right.
And we don't really know what's going on. That's the thing. Everybody sees, you know, Nick Diaz saying Dana this, Dana that, Dana, yeah. Dana, Dana. I know more than most about Dana.
Yeah.
And I hate when people say that, so it's not like secret stuff. I've seen Dana hand checks. I've mm-hmm. seen what Dana does to these athletes. So everybody thinks Dana is the devil.
Yeah.
We don't know what Dana has offered Nick Diaz.
He's an easy villain.
Yes.
For everybody.
Right.
And because he handles his stuff as professionally as he can.
Sort of.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he kind of toes that line, but, you know, a lot of that stuff he decides not to open to the public.
Right.
Where the fighters, it's easy for him to be like, well, Dana won't let me do this, or Dana won't let me do that. Because I saw people bashing Dan, like, Dan doesn't respect his fighters, because he was just basically just like, Nate hasn't won a fight in 6 years, but we keep him on our roster.
Right. Because people want to see him fight.
Because people want to see him fight. Right. He hasn't won a fight in a long time. So, but if he wants to go fight him, like, go fight him.
Right.
Right? And it's like, oh, you know, Dana this. I don't think it's a Dana issue.
I don't either. People, you know, obviously get on Dana, get on the UFC, the money, and this is what I've always said, and I'll continue to say, then don't sign the contract.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the owner is making. I mean, same with you know, in what you do. If you put your name on a contract and you're willing to do whatever, then don't come back and say, I want more because
Roger Goodell's making so much money.
Right. Or we know the owners make money.
Yeah.
And yes, we know that people, the fans tune in and the fans come to a stadium to watch you, the player, not the owner or not the commissioner. But that's not how it works.
It's not.
You know, you work at the restaurant. If Matt's lucky enough to get somebody to work here, you know, if they agree to work and Matt pays them whatever, you know, he's paying them, which is probably not as much as they deserve, and we know that.
Compliments.
Yeah, compliments.
Yeah, those are valuable.
You know,
hey, Kayla, you look really nice.
It just drives me crazy about all of that. So, but we don't know what contracts have been offered to Diaz.
Yeah.
We don't know, has he turned it down? Is it not big enough? Does he not? Because if he's willing to let Diaz go, and this is what typically happens, and it happened with Paige VanZant and everybody else, that last fight is more a setup fight for the next UFC guy,
mm-hmm.
you know? So maybe Nick's turned it down.
Yeah.
Or Nate. Or both.
Yeah.
You know, or both, because they both go through this stuff, you know, regularly.
Yeah.
And I like the Diaz brothers.
Same.
You know, I've been around them.
Entertaining.
They very much are. People hated the Diazes because they said they don't want to be friends with who they're fighting. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with everything they've done except for showing late or not showing up at all. But we don't know what's happening in the back. And unfortunately, a fighter can say Dana's done this, or Zuffa's done that, or EMI's done that, but we don't know
mm-hmm.
unless you've seen that contract.
And it's also like, it's not easy to run a business. Like, you got to think about the amount of people he's dealing with on a day-to-day basis, the, you know, the constant work that he's putting in to make the UFC what it was. When he got it, it was a certain way. Now, to me, it's one of the biggest sports in the world. You know what I mean? And so to discredit him and say he doesn't respect fighters, guys are getting paid more than they ever been paid. I bet you if you go ask those old fighters if they would take these contracts today, they'll be like, heck yeah.
I've talked to Mark Coleman.
You know what I mean?
I've talked to Tank Abbott.
You know, and so, like, it's a tough job, and nobody – you can never please everyone. You know, I think that he's doing a pretty solid job with – because not a lot of guys complain about fighter pay.
Would we be sitting here talking about mixed martial arts, UFC, Bellator, bare knuckle, any of that – if there wasn't Dana White 8, 10, 12, 25 years ago, whatever it was.
I mean, before that, it was Donald Trump. Without Donald Trump, we wouldn't be talking about all these sports.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, he's the one that allowed it to take place when it's still barbaric.
He allowed it at the casino in Atlantic City. I was there. But I believe, and like I said before, it doesn't mean it's right. It's what I believe. They would have found some other place to find
100%.
But having Trump's support back when he was the biggest celebrity on earth? Are you kidding me?
He wasn't the biggest celebrity on earth back then.
He was the apprentice guy. He's the guy.
You see what I got to deal with?
Everybody loves the guy.
He wasn't the apprentice until years later. No. Donald Trump was.
He's still the best out there. Who was a bigger celebrity than Trump before like reality TV?
Michael Jackson.
What is that?
That's a lot of other people.
No, but a lot of people. But Trump was a real celebrity before, like, you know, everybody has YouTube and Instagram.
He was not a celebrity. He was a very rich, I don't want to say millionaire or billionaire, because I don't really know his status. He was a very rich dude that pretty much ran 412 casinos in Atlantic City. Okay? That doesn't make him a celebrity. It's like I can't stand when people say media people are celebrities. They're not. Now, some of the people in the media are celebrities because they were celebrities when they became media. I don't think Stephen A. Smith is a celebrity. That's just me.
I would say he is now.
I just don't consider a media guy.
That's a job.
You know, a celebrity. J.P. Peterson, anybody else, I don't know why I thought of him first.
But I was a celebrity before I joined this network.
Oh, my God.
No, but a celebrity, by definition, is just someone who has done something notable or historic or iconic. And then that's exactly what I did with the pizza diet. No one ever did what I did with a fast food.
A, you're not a celebrity.
Ever. I am a celebrity.
And B, I've
and
done.
And I'm lower on my legacy at this point. And you know it.
Because we don't care. I've done some of those stupid things too, but I'm not a celebrity.
Yeah.
Donald Trump at the time, in my opinion, was not a celebrity. He owned the casinos and he allowed the UFC to come into Atlantic City. I don't know how much he had to do with when it was on the boardwalk, because I know it was in the casino first. And then there was a couple fights on the boardwalk at the Coliseum. Did he have something to do with it? Of course he did, because he was pretty much running Atlantic City. But he wasn't a celebrity. I believe that would have happened. Just like I don't think Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin fight really set MMA on a new world. Another fight would have done the same thing. That was a great fight. But the next fight would have done it. The fight before would have done it. So you're giving Donald Trump a little bit. And I'm a Trump guy. But, you know.
Oh, you can't claim that on the radio.
I got the photo.
Oh, you're going to get the hate mail.
I got the photo to prove it.
Get the hate mail.
And you know how you can email me? Our new website.
Let'sgobrandon.com.
If you go to knockoutradio.com mm-hmm. and you go to the contact, it'll come right to me.
Oh, hate mail goes directly to you now?
Knockoutradio at Yahoo.
But how'd you get mail on the prairie? They bring a truck?
Michael Landon brought it. Michael Landon brought it. Do you know who Michael Landon
was? The guy with the Stairway to Heaven?
No, Michael Landon was on Little House on the Prairie.
I don't know.
Oh, so yeah, he throws a dig.
This is way past my time.
Yeah. No, it's way before your time.
Before, yeah.
Little House on the Prairie.
But I definitely think Dana was, for me at least, from the time I've been watching UFC, like he's the biggest, you know, biggest proponent of why it's so successful. But obviously with great fighters and great fighters, but I think they had great fighters back then. But you need somebody to be able to put these guys
absolutely
in position to be successful and make this kind of money.
But I think the part you're missing is just like this last week, Brogan, she's a teacher. She teaches in Guam. She teaches our first grade kids. Back then, guys like Rich Franklin were math teachers, and it made it realistic that you could actually have a career.
Our scheduled first guest, and they never sent the phone numbers, but our scheduled first guest, and it's in the media. It's in Google. She's talked about it. Vanessa DeMopolis. She just quit her job.
Okay. Yeah.
But you know what her job was?
What was that?
She's a stripper.
Oh, we'll see.
Wow. That's a crazy combination.
Job. Yeah.
Dance at night and you can beat people
right
up.
And fight in the morning. But, wow. So she was the bouncer at her own club.
Wow.
But back then, you could actually become like a real fighter and have a career. Like you could be a teacher and go in and kick ass like Rich Franklin did. And it made it realistic. Like made it, there was like a road, like in your career, you start a peewee and then you play next level, the next level, high school, then college, then junior pro or semi-pro, and then NFL. So for fighting, we didn't really know.
Did you just make that list up?
I kind of. I got lost somewhere, junior pro.
Junior pro. Well, NFL.
But the point is, back then, you didn't really know how to become a professional fighter. Like, yeah. You weren't in the fight game. It was a new sport. You didn't know how to do it. And it showed, the Ultimate Fighter really showed, like, real people that were delivery drivers, UPS drivers, that would, you know, work and then they fight on weekends and they're chasing down their dream.
Yeah.
And it showed action steps to achieve. And so, you know, it's cool to see.
What is the Ultimate Fighter? You've lost
Well,
me.
Because Brogan was a teacher and Rich Franklin was like the catalyst that started. Like, that's what started the whole UFC.
Rich Franklin?
No, but that era. Catalyst. Those guys in that first era, that first era, were regular people like us. Limo drivers and whatever you do, and football players. And
I understand what you're saying. He basically gave them a pathway to chasing their dreams.
Right.
You know, it didn't seem unreachable.
Who do you give more credit to?
Yeah.
Dana White or the Fertittas?
We have to give it to Art.
I mean, I get, okay, so.
I mean, without the Fertittas, there is no Dana.
Understood.
Art
right?
Davey started it. It was his vision.
But that's
it's
not.
Like, it's
gotta
like,
give Art Davey a credit.
It's like the Belichick and Brady discussion, right? Okay.
One's
yeah.
not going to be successful without the other.
Exactly. And also, like, without, if you don't have a guy like Dana White, you can put all the money in you want to, but you're just going to lose your money because you don't have somebody who can promote fights like he can and be a savvy businessman and pick these matchups and be able to tell these fighters when they get mad, like, hey, I don't care that you're mad.
Right.
This is what it's going to be. Right. And this is how we're going to do things. And so, like, the money behind it is great, but you still need your front office. You still need your, you can have a great owner. Like, Jerry Jones is a great owner, but he hasn't found that front office and that coach
he's coming.
Since, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. But up until you get that perspective down, like, the product's not going to be what it should be
right.
with the talent that you do have. So I think it's important.
No, it's Dana.
Yeah.
You know, and you could have maybe found somebody else with the money.
Mm-hmm.
You needed that guy. Dana was the right guy back then. He's the right guy now, but he doesn't have to go to, you know, and be out there like he used to be.
Yeah.
You know, now he can send other people. Like, Forrest is now the main guy on this season's Ultimate Fighter.
But
Dana's still there, mm-hmm. still wearing that Tom Brady shirt. I don't know if you caught it.
It's no,
the, yeah, he's still in the Tom Brady shirt.
But you know who makes a better negotiator than Dana White?
Who?
The father of Rylan Freeman. You know who that is?
No.
He caught the first home run of a Houston Astro player. And so the team sent down a negotiator to get the first home run ball back. And they were able to get a Verlander signed jersey, Altuve signed bat in exchange for the first ball to go back to the Major League home run of his first
All right,
bat.
Two questions. What the hell does that have to
that
do with
kid,
anything?
That dude's family, that kid's father is one hell of a negotiator because he got a Verlander signed jersey.
Big deal.
He didn't even get the autograph from the guy's baseball they caught. He got all the stars on the team, not the Major League rookie that his
right.
first hit
Just
was a home
curious.
Run.
Just curious, game used jersey or the one that they got out of the store?
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
that matters.
Yeah.
Did but, either jersey have like little buttons that you could you know, talk
tickets,
to people in the dugout?
Six tickets to a future game. So you got,
see, need,
you got more
season,
tickets.
I need a season, season okay. pass. You know, I want to be behind the dugout, you
but
know?
He caught J.J. Matavic's like a first
do you,
home
you watch
run
Shark Tank at all?
Ball.
I used to, not as much anymore.
So every once in a while, like there's a company that's based in Dallas, and you know, obviously, you know, Cuban, and so they're negotiating back and forth. And I could probably tell three or four times this has happened. They're like, "Will you throw in season tickets?" And a couple times he said, "I think he has said yes," but I've seen him more times say no.
Yeah,
he's like, "I can get you in a suite once."
Yeah,
I can get you to a game, but season tickets. You
yeah,
know,
it's expensive.
it does get up. When we come back, there is a draft tomorrow.
Okay. What? NBA, right?
Yeah, NBA. Yeah. What will the Orlando Magic do this time? This is Knockout Radio.
Is that
brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. I better do some real quick NBA research.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bert Sugar, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Matt Ryan from the Atlanta Falcons by way of Boston College. You're listening to my man. Freeze frame!
We need to get that changed.
Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan.
Their quarterback that lost to Brady in the Super Bowl.
That would be him.
Yeah, they wish they would have told Brady.
There's
a lot of guys. They wish they would have told
Brady. But not like that. I don't know. You didn't see banners after other losses like you did. What was it, 28-3?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember seeing those banners?
Yeah,
I remember watching a World Series. I think Houston was in the World Series, and in right field was like an apartment complex, and there was a banner hanging out, 28-3 or whatever.
This past season, the Saints do this thing called Us Versus Them, and so we played Atlanta. It was like Saints and championship games, 1-0, whatever it was. Atlanta and championship games, it was like 28-3. So whatever it was funny.
I remember when the Saints won their Super Bowl. It was in Miami. And as I was leaving, Robin Roberts was underneath the stadium, and she's from New Orleans, just bawling her eyes out that the Saints were going to win the Super Bowl and you know, the attachment.
It changes the city, man. It changes the city. Tampa changed in my time being gone and coming back. Like, there's like the city has a little bit more pep, a little bit more swagger. A football team does a lot. Like, a good sports organization does a lot for a city.
For sure.
We'll see what kind of swagger is at 11:30 tonight.
Yeah.
Lightning need to win this game tonight.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
I mean, it doesn't tarnish anything. Back to
back. No. It doesn't tarnish anything. But for this to be a series, if they go down 3-1, I don't even think – I don't think the Lightning at full team, you know, because they got quite a few points out again.
Well, you saw your boy, my boy, your boy, our boy, Ryan Jensen. He has the same idea that I did.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a little crap about that.
What are you talking about?
So what happened?
He's got the dual jersey.
He's got the dual jersey. It's half Colorado because he's from out there, and it's half Tampa.
Yeah.
Come on, pick one.
Yeah. No, you can have two. You can have two.
I agree. Pick one.
Why do you have to pick one?
I would say the dual jersey is cool if you are, you have kids or something that play there. Or, you know, maybe I played on the Bucks and the whatever, and I'm retired now. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm kind of rooting for both teams. But just...
Dude, he looks good in the double jersey, the split jersey.
All right, I'm going to make...
That's a great photo, Ryan Jensen. I'm a fan.
I'm going to make a comment, And hopefully next time Ryan sees me, he's not going to punch me in the face.
Not as good as this photo.
It's easily which one he's, you know, not that he's rooting for. He's from Colorado.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I get it. And it's always bothered me, shocking, that fans think as soon as you move to a city, you have to become a Tampa Bay fan.
Yeah.
You have to become a Rays fan. You got to become a Lightning, a Bucks. You know, and we've talked about this. And yes, you do get ties to the city, but you're not from here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Yankees just won another home game at Tropicana Field last
week. I said that. Thanks for reading my Facebook comments.
Well, thanks for not blocking me anymore.
Try to explain this to me, and it's probably one reason why the Rays love me so much. Why do the Tampa Bay Rays have promotional giveaways against the New York Yankees? Explain that to me. A, you don't need the gimmick to sell tickets because it's the New York Yankees.
Right, yeah.
Two, you don't need the New York Yankee fans to get your Tampa Bay Ray bobblehead.
Yeah.
It would make more sense to me against Seattle, against Cleveland, against the – try to draw people. That's the whole object of promotional items. Mm-hmm. But, no, they always do it against the Red Sox and the Yankees and – you know, whatever, the Cardinals.
Well, they probably have to buy the items in bulk, and they don't have enough people in the attendance at the other games. So they're like, well, at least there'll be enough people here to give it all away.
I saw as I was flipping channels, I don't remember who was playing, their outfield is dead. Not too long ago, okay, maybe before both of you were born, the sellouts, you know, there's people in the outfield. There's Martin or Charlie Sheen, you know, buys the whole left field to get the Barry Bonds home run.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever saw that.
I did not.
He bought like a whole section. So that he was the only one in the section to try to get the home run ball.
What do they call Baseball America's pastime?
Yeah.
This is in
it's
the past.
Past the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's past yeah. the time.
It's yeah. old school.
I'm definitely with you.
Yeah. So we've talked about this a couple times about, you know, rookie dinners and stuff like that on the show. And there was a funny video of the Jets rookie. And basically he was on the Pivot podcast, no plug, but... And they basically asked him, like, hey, like, are you ready for the dinner that you're going to have to take him to? He was like, yeah, they told me about the dinner that I got to take all the receivers out to. It's going to be cool. And everybody in there is like, no, it's not going to be cool. He's like, they're going to run you for about $75,000. His jaw drops. And he was just like, nah, I'm not going to let him do that. And they starts laughing, like, oh, you think it's your choice? Oh, that's cute, you know? And it's just, it's fun. I'm surprised that he didn't know this was coming, you know, because I knew. The way before I got to the NFL that this was a thing.
Who was the receiver that went to Dallas and refused to do it? He refused to carry the shoulder pads.
Oh.
Austin or something?
No, it was the big-time receiver.
CeeDee Lamb?
I think before him.
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
I think it was Dez. And then when they told him, he's like, oh, okay, I understand. I thought you were just making me carry your crap.
Did that, it, okay, I mean.
But how do you not know?
I think for me, I love football. And I'm like immersed in it, and I got to study it. Some guys are really good players and just play, and they don't kind of know the background and stuff like that. But, you know, from your agent to other guys you played before, especially when you go to a big-time school, you have guys who go to the league and tell you what it's like and all the things you have to do. And, like, so yeah, you carry pads and you do things. You have your rookie dinner. It's just part of it. It's part of it.
Marcus Jones, number one draft pick out of North Carolina or NC State. I don't remember which it was. North Carolina because it was the blue. And he once told me that he didn't like football. He goes, I'm just good at it.
Yeah.
I was a number one draft pick. I made a lot of money. He then went to the UFC.
I know a lot of guys.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. But I want to get back to that,
yeah.
You know, the thing, because you know where I stand.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it to a certain point, and I know you've told me it's all cool, it's all fun and games, it's all. I think when you step over the line, and now again, my line is different than your line.
Yeah.
You know, I don't live in your world. But and I always use the same reference. I've never thrown the guy under the bus, but the same reference. A guy bought $3,000 bottles of champagne and took it back to his hotel room.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
I think that's pushing it. I mean, if you want to push it, this is just me. You're out to dinner. You know that you're paying for it. You order that $1,000 bottle of champagne and you drink it yourself at that dinner. I'm okay with that.
Nah, I think it's like, you know. Like, you know, when you're a vet, you know where the guy got drafted, how much money he got, because everything's slotted, right? I know you were a top 10 pick. Your contract is worth something like $40 million. You're getting $20 million guaranteed. $70,000 isn't going to hurt you that bad.
I understand that.
So they're like, hey, we can run it up. Like, if you're a fifth-round pick, you played a couple games here and there, they're not going to go out of the way and, like, make you pay $70,000. But it's one of those things where it's like you take your lumps.
I get it. I understand it all. And like I said, as much as I would be upset.
Yeah.
If it's at the dinner, I'm going to think you're a jerk.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But
everybody does.
I understand that. But to take it home, and of course, this is the same guy. We did a radio show, and he ordered food because he thought that they were comping it.
Yeah.
And I just kept it to myself because it wasn't comped. I had to pay for it. And he ordered enough for, I think, the whole neighborhood. Okay?
Yeah.
And true story, so help me. I'm on the Howard Franklin. I'm driving home, and this player calls me, and he goes, Randy, they shorted me my shrimp cocktail. It was $300 worth of food that I paid for.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I would go back and get it since I paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, but even if it was comped, it's taken advantage when it shouldn't be and it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
And that's just me. I mean, I know that it's the gimmick. I'm not using the H word, all that kind of stuff. At the dinner, hey, it is what it is. You got your lumps.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the $500 steak, not the $23.50 steak. But to order three back to the room,
it's just like.
Now, I think it's funny because that's the world you live in.
Yeah.
I'm not in that world.
For sure.
You know, if we all went out to dinner, well, I won't say his name, but we all went out to dinner once with a couple fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on me. And they ordered the $175 seafood tower.
Yeah.
Okay. But if he ordered one to go back to his room, I would have been pissed.
I think, like, for the food stuff, what usually happens is, like, okay, I'll get a steak. And it's like, oh, I'm going to take one for my wife, my lady, whatever it is. It's usually the alcohol that gets taken home, right? It's like, okay, the big one is the Louis the 13th or 14th. I can't remember. And it's very expensive. It's like, I think now it's up to like $12,000 or $14,000 for a bottle or something like that. They have like a lower end one for like $5,000. And so guys know, like, this is going to happen. Like, if you're a first round draft pick, you know, like, this is going to get bought and guys are going to take it home. Right. And so you just kind of prep yourself for that. And it's like, so some, if you're smart, I know we had I'm not going to say his name. I know a player who went and bought them beforehand. Because the restaurant's going to upcharge you.
Right.
So he went and bought them beforehand, one for everybody, and had it there at the table. So it's like, hey, this is for y'all. So the $10,000 extra the restaurant's going to charge me, I already got y'all covered. Y'all take it home. But it's one of those things where you just like, it's, again, it sounds crazy, but it's just like, it's one of those things, man.
Is it really that crazy? That's only like what? Like one massage for Deshaun Watson?
And just turn it right back down. Just turn it.
That's a pretty
perfect timing. It's break time. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Isaac. You're on Talking Sports with Randy Harris. Many of you don't remember, but Randy Harris was a 3-time welterweight champion of the United States. And here he is, Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right on Trek Adventure Meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right on Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, what's going on? This is Tug McGraw, talking sports with Randy Harris. Hope you're listening in. Have some fun.
I forgot I had that one, the old Tug McGraw. You knew who Tug McGraw was?
Todd McGraw?
Tug McGraw. Frank Tug McGraw.
No.
Tug McGraw played for the New York Mets, then went to the Philadelphia Phillies. He was the big, you got to believe, when they won in 1980. He used to bang his glove on his knee to tell his wife he loved her. Hmm. As you can tell, I was a big Tug McGraw fan.
Yeah.
Tug McGraw's son is Tim McGraw.
Okay.
The country star.
Well, great family lineage.
Yeah. Well, there's stories behind that as well. And Live Like You're Dying is basically about Tug, who was here in Pinellas County when he was dying. Wow. And that was all big Tug McGraw fan.
Wow.
Tug McGraw and Al Hrabowski, two of my my favorites back then. What do you remember from last week's UFC? Because I don't remember a whole lot.
I remember DC, Daniel Cormier, almost getting into it with one of the fighters. They had like a little back and forth. And I remember Kevin Holland landing a good win in his home state. So
was that the win from when he caught another convict? I allegedly, like the night before, he caught somebody again.
He's a superhero at this point, you know.
Him, John Jones, Wes Sims.
Yeah, like I'm a big fan of his. His personality. He's really engaging with the fans. But I can't tell you a lot of the names on that card. But there were a lot of good fights,
great
lots
fights.
Of knockouts.
Yeah, great fights.
Lots of knockouts.
I got in a little beef. And ironically, I talked to Ben Rothwell last night. If you remember when we had him on and he questioned about a beef I was in the middle of. So a little beef I had with Corey Anderson.
Okay.
So Corey made a comment about DC and the comments that were made. And he said something to the effect of, I'm going to jump in your stuff if you go and pick on my guy, blah, 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 blah. So I responded. I said, oh, so it's okay that DC was unprofessional, huh? So then he ripped me. And he's like, oh, we can't try to be funny to the media anymore. I said, oh, then I stand corrected. I didn't know you were joking.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was awful and unprofessional. It was Deron Wynn, which was his guy from AKA.
Yeah.
And you have to separate those two.
Yeah.
You know, when you're commentating and when you're going in after and you're interviewing a fighter.
So, okay, so what was the – because I saw Deron Wynn apologized. Right. Afterwards. Do you know what the...
Of course not.
Okay.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It truly doesn't. You know, if Deron even said something to DC derogatory, you know, hey, I beat your boy or whatever.
Yeah.
You've still got to be... Me talking about being professional, I know it's funny. Yeah. But, you know, you've got to be professional. You want to handle it and do something in the back or say something like they do anyway.
Yeah.
But to do it as the face of the UFC doing those interviews, I thought was wrong in DC.
Hey, okay, that's right. I can respect that. I can definitely respect that because, you know, I know for him, DC, he's what, a year removed from fighting?
A little more
than a year.
Yeah.
And so, you know, instantly that bravado kicks in like, hey, you know, because he kept saying, you didn't beat me. You know, like, and so I understand what you're saying, though. As a media person, you have to separate the two and definitely just let it go.
And the easiest way is you don't respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
You make some kind of, let's just get right into, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then if you want, because you can walk around like you own the place, because he does at the Apex as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go and you handle it however you want to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, as two MMA fighters, whatever. Go.
Yeah.
There's a ring right there. Go handle it.
Yeah.
But I thought it looked really bad. You know, that he made the comments like that for the whole world to see.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I disagree with him,
mm-hmm.
but there's a time and a place for everything, and I didn't think that was the time and the place.
That's true. definitely holds a different standard as a fighter than as a commentator. And yeah, I agree.
And it's cost, you know, some commentators, former fighters, jobs. And, you know, Dan Hardy said some things that he shouldn't have said, and now he's no longer involved.
Yeah.
DC, again, it's what we talked about with Tom Brady and a lesser known, you know, and it's just the way of the world. You know, the higher up the food chain, the more you can get away with.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a rookie and you did that, you might not still be there.
Yeah.
But there were some outstanding fights.
There was. There was. And again, like, the UFC is not disappointed in a while. You know, they keep putting on good events. And, you know, for the exception of the Rose fight a little while ago, which is disappointing, it's hard to say you've turned on in the UFC event and it wasn't exciting.
Does it matter who Carla will defend against that would interest you to watch her fight?
If it's not Rose, not really.
Anybody. I mean, honestly, she could fight, I can't pronounce her name, Wang?
Yeah, you know, Zhang Wei.
Who, that was an incredible fight against Joanna.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like, and you won't know the reference, the Nate Quarry Running Man fight, where literally he's chasing his opponent.
Yeah.
And he's chasing him in circles as the guy is running from him.
Yeah.
And so he does the sprinkler, you know, as he's running, chasing this guy around the... I have zero interest in seeing... And Carla should care.
Yeah, she should.
I'm saying she shouldn't care.
I think she should.
She shouldn't care. She's the champ.
Yeah.
She can tell me the same thing that... I already forgot his name.
Aljo?
Sterling? No. From the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, Draymond Green.
Yeah. She could tell me the same thing Draymond Green would say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here for you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, she won the belt.
But it's just like there's something about the fight sport and the game that is just respect means so much to those guys. You know, like the respect of your people. And it means a lot in football and basketball and everything else. But it's different when it's hand-to-hand combat, you know. And, like, to win it that way, like, I feel like Aljo, even if it was in a DQ, he had to – if he had gone against anybody else other than Jan, everybody would be like, well, you didn't beat the guy. You know what I mean? And so to go back and show, like, hey, like, okay, well, I go
the
back.
The second fight, for sure.
You know, so I feel like that's necessary. And I know people are like, they don't want to make that fight because it was so boring the first time. But I think you're setting up for fireworks at this point because they know they both have to prove something.
But I don't think there's any way that fight happens.
No, I don't think so either. I think Dana's like, we're not doing this
again. Yeah, but because you can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't take a chance of it.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid that's your next fight.
Yeah, it happens again, you know.
You know, when they made the big fight with Kimbo and Houston Alexander. Awful.
Yeah.
I know people that really wanted to commit suicide. That's how bad that fight was. But you never expected that because that was a fireworks. Kimbo Slice and Houston Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
You expected the old, and I've always said my favorite fights of all time was Tank Abbott.
Yeah.
Because he would walk to the center and he would throw like Rock'em Sock'em. He's either going to win in 12 seconds or lose in 11.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't see 10 seconds of that in the Carla Rose.
If anything. So, okay. So somebody made a comment. Or statement about Valentina being the greatest UFC champion ever, man or woman, because she has lost one round in 4 years, seven title defenses, and it hasn't really been close. What is your stance on that?
I disagree. I believe Amanda is still going to go down. You still want, when you win two belts at the same time,
yeah,
and you're defending both belts back
both
and forth
classes, yeah,
you know, and I think, and you know, I told you this, I was given a lot of crap from Gerald McCoy,
yeah,
you know, about that fight, and I wasn't really dogging Amanda at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying, you know, until she comes back and wins it back or fights Giuliani again, you know, to rank Giuliani above her, blah 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 blah. And ironically, Ron did just reach out and say hi to me yesterday. You know, so the blah, 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 you know,
yeah.
and I'm thinking of him. But I would put Amanda as still, you know, the better all around of all time fighter than her.
And I don't, yeah, you can't. For me, it's, I almost kind of rank UFC fights kind of like the NCAA, like football, like BCS kind of. So, like, let's say Alabama loses, is number one, and they lose to number five team or number seven team by 3 points. You're not going to rank them over Alabama. They're not going to be the number one team all of a sudden because Alabama lost.
But Alabama would still be dropped.
They'll drop one right. or so, right? But listen, we've seen it all the time. Alabama's lost last game of the season in the championship game and play for the national championship because, like, hey, like we know you lost that game, but you're still the best team in the country. So that's kind of how I
still, and this is one of the things Gerald, you know, kind of gave me, you know, garbage about, you know, I said I would not rank Amanda above Giuliana right after the fight. I wouldn't have done it because Giuliana just beat her.
I would.
You would have what?
I'll still keep her above Juliana.
Okay. And that's what he said, too.
Yeah.
So I told you what he said. He said, so are you going to rank last year's NBA champion? I go, Gerald, who won the NBA championship last year? Now I know now, yeah. But I didn't, you know, you never remember that stuff or who Milwaukee beat.
Yeah.
Who did Milwaukee beat for it?
Last year in the finals? Oh, my goodness.
That's my point. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially when you say it quick. I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
The Suns. Phoenix Suns.
Okay. There I thought go. It was, but still, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so I would still rank Amanda above her.
Same.
Now. No, I'm saying Amanda above.
Juliana.
No. Shevchenko.
Shevchenko. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Now, you know, it just, for me, it's tough for somebody that just beat you, you know, to rank below you. It's difficult. If she was the number one or the number two contender, which she was at the time, mm-hmm. How do you rank the person?
But where was she at in pound for pound?
Well, pound for pound doesn't really matter because most of the people that are doing these votings just go by whoever the champions are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's these nine champions, and I'm going to put them in the order that I think it is.
Okay.
Let's see what happens when they fight again.
Yeah.
And I like Juliana a lot.
I do, too.
I really do. She's done the show numerous times. I like her demeanor.
Yeah, I was like a little giddy college kid when I was talking to her on the thing. Like, I'm excited for her. I think it was a great fight. She did a lot of really, really good things. It's the impossible, a lot of people thought, you know. Cause
right.
I wish I had a time machine. I'd have gone and bet some money on
did
that.
Did I tell you the Radio Row story with her?
No.
All right, so let's go hit our final break, and then I'll tell the story throwing me under the bus. But if anybody's going to do it, it might as well be me. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Fireball.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Will Allen from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Lucas Hines from the New York Giants, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, so we're on Radio Row. Another Radio Row is coming up this week, Friday and Saturday. Steve and I will be set up at the UFC Fan Expo at the Apex. So we should be getting a lot of fighters on, and then we'll be at the Apex on Wednesday. Friday and Saturday is the Fan Expo for International Fight Week. So, the last couple of years, UFC fighters have been showing up at the Super Bowl Radio Row. Had Dana on in Miami, would have been 1, 2, 3 Super Bowls ago. And I told him, to me, this is awesome. This is like we finally hit it.
Yeah.
And when I say we, you know, I've been heavily involved since day one. And you know, for people to oh, my God, there's Kamaru Usman and the fight with him and Masvidal that almost happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're all coming to the they're doing everybody. But obviously, they came and did Knockout Radio because they know us and all that. So, they're going to bring on whatever day there was like three fighters coming, and Juliana was one of them. So the person that was setting this up, Beth, I've known for years, she's like, I'll bring Juliana to you first.
Yeah.
At, I don't know, I'm going to make up the time, 2 o'clock. I don't remember. So Chuck Liddell comes. I invited Chuck to come, and it was cool that all these other media and celebrities like, holy crap, It's Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
You know, and he walks right over to us and he does the show. So he was getting bombarded so bad. I said, Chuck, as soon as the show's over, we'll go to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me take you to lunch. We'll go hang out. I invited Adam Hunter, a comedian who just walked into the convention center like he owned the place. No credential. Never got checked. He parked in VIP parking and walked right in.
It's confidence.
So, yeah, that's what it all is. So the show ends. Chuck is standing there. He's getting just blasted with photos. And so we tore the stuff down in like 3 minutes. You know, the banners, the equipment. Threw it all in the bag. We're walking out as fast as we can. And Beth and Juliana and two other people walk right by me. And my mouth dropped because I forgot.
She was going on next.
That she was coming. I'm like, oh, my God. So we set it up where then she did at the end instead of the beginning.
Yeah.
And then we got Chuck out, and then Adam walked in. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, dude, I totally forgot. So he wasn't happy that he drove 45 minutes to come on the air.
Yeah.
But, Steve, you and I will see Adam Hunter next week as he's performing at the Stratosphere. So we'll go catch that. So you need to go do one of these Vegas ones.
I know. I know. I will. I will. I will soon. I will soon.
It's good stuff, but it's all work.
Yeah.
It's all work. We have a buffet every night.
That's not bad. That's a bad way to cap off the night.
Yeah. We're going to go to the Caesars buffet. I got that twice. I got the Brazilian barbecue once. And I finally got the reservation at Wynn once. The sad thing is Wednesday is an all-you-can-eat lobster for $45.95, I think, at I don't remember. It's one of the ones that's off the strip. But they're like, yeah, you need to get here at noon. Dinner's at 6.
Mm-hmm.
You get there at noon. You stand in line till 2:30. Then they take numbers and take your phone number. And then you can leave. And then they call you. Like, I'm not standing in line for 2.5 hours.
There's no way. At the buffets?
At this particular buffet.
Oof. No, nowhere.
Now, you can't get in. Like, the Wynn, you can't get in unless you have a reservation.
Yeah.
Same with the one at Caesars. And the line was, Matt and I were going to go, but we couldn't get in. The line was so long.
Wow. So, okay. So I wanted to play like a little fun game.
Play a fun game.
Yeah. So you, let's say you're Dana White and you're picking some fights coming up, right? There's some interesting guys that are out there. Volkanovski and
Holloway.
Holloway. That's already been announced?
That's next week.
That's next week?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to find some. So let's say Sterling. Who do you have him fight next?
Well, the first thing, if I'm Dana White, is I do whatever I need to do to get John Jones to fight.
I agree.
Either Stipe. And
the surreal,
the cable guy, you know, was at the house that we're selling. And he's like, aren't you the UFC guy? I'm like, oh, crap. We start talking. He got a little violent when he said Stipe is going to kill John Jones. I said, I don't see that happening.
Yeah,
I don't. I want to see John Jones fight.
See, me too.
That would be number one first for me to see.
Yeah.
Let me think. What else would be? I mean, Kamaru has a fight.
Why do you think Dana hasn't already found an interim fight for Francis?
Well, I think it's more that Francis isn't available to fight.
I know. So I'm saying, why don't you think he's done? Because that's what they usually do. As soon as somebody, the only person I've seen him wait for was Kamaru. He's waited for a little bit for Kamaru to get healthy, which he has now.
I thought the last heavyweight fight was for the fake title.
No, it was the Cyril Gane was interim, and Francis was the champion, and they fought together, and Francis won.
Okay.
That's 6 months ago now?
Was it that long?
It feels like it.
It feels longer.
So
I don't know. But I think, honestly, in my opinion, if you're having me play the Dana White role,
yeah,
who am I going to put in there? It's bad enough that I hate fake titles.
Yeah.
And I didn't say it to, but I will say it to his face if we go down this weekend when Yuli fights for the fake title.
Yeah.
I hate fake titles.
Yeah, you told me.
It makes no sense to me. Other than it gets you a 5-round fight instead of a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way around. You just make it the main event then.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a title fight. You make it the main event, and it is what it is. But I don't know if you want – I couldn't even tell you who's ranked 2, 3, 4, any of that stuff. I mean, do you want Stipe as an interim champ?
Yeah, that's fair.
Honestly, I don't want John Jones as an interim champ.
No, I don't think John would fight for that.
I don't either. Yeah. But, you know, the fans wouldn't accept that either.
Yeah.
You know, because the fans that hate John Jones are going to say, well, that's the fake title.
Yeah.
You know, so you have everything to lose and nothing to gain.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair. What about Aljo Sterling? What do you think? He's talking about moving up. You know, who else do you think in that?
I don't know.
Joe be competitive?
No, nobody pops out.
Yeah.
Does somebody pop out for you?
Not really. That's all I was asking you. Yeah. Trying to, because, you know, you know, I know Henry Cejudo has been chomping around on Twitter and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
but
Peter Yan's talking about fighting him. And
but Cejudo, as much as when he left, he was at the top of the game.
Yeah.
Are you going to give him an automatic? He's been gone for 3 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give him an automatic title anything. And Dana said he's not getting an automatic title anything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because you've been gone that
long. So long.
Now, if it would have been 6 months, maybe.
And also, he's just not. I think as much as you don't want to say Dana plays favorites, there's got certain guys. Like, I feel like certain guys can be gone for a while and come back and get a title shot.
Of course.
Conor McGregor can walk out for a year and a half and come back and fight for a title tomorrow, which I think he will.
Which he shouldn't. You shouldn't. But of course he will.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about dollars.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about eyes.
And he brings both of those.
I really want to see, and granted he's gone. He's in the PFL now. I want to see Conor McGregor fight Jeremy Stephens. You know that whole thing, right?
That's the guy press conference. Was like, yeah.
Who the F is this guy?
Yeah.
And I won't even attempt it, but it's like Fork. And I've got the green shirt that says, who the Fork is this guy?
Yeah.
Because it was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah.
Conor could talk.
He can.
But I don't ever want to go to a Conor McGregor press conference. I won't go to a Conor McGregor.
I want to go to one.
I won't do it.
Because for me, I take it for what it is. It's pure entertainment.
If you told me the Conor McGregor press conference was at 1 o'clock,
yeah,
I would go at 1:10, and he'd be there at 1:15.
Yeah.
The only problem is that's not how it works.
You got to be there at 1.
If the press conference is at 1, we're there at 11:30, maybe even 12, and Conor comes at 3:30. Right?
Yeah.
When he fought Habib, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't there. And the story goes, and again, we're not backstage, so we don't know, but the story is, and I'm going to say it's 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock comes, and Habib starts to walk out, and he's told, no, Conor's not here yet. And the story is Habib said, Conor's not here, but I am. I'm going to do my press conference.
Yeah.
And that's why I like Habib.
Yeah.
He walked out, he did his stuff, and then he left.
Yeah.
You wait for Conor. I'm not.
I think just, for me, just in the second part of fights and sports entertainment is the entertainment aspect.
Absolutely.
And when I go back, and I'll go back on YouTube and watch Conor and Floyd have their back and forth. And even though he told the line on some stuff that he said, and they each like, but it was just, for me, it's just so entertaining. And it just brings, and people want to, even though you can, the pure fight fans might be like, oh, this is not part, it's not right. WWE. But it's like, man, they're funny. They're witty.
Oh, it was awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, I just really enjoy that aspect. And, like, that's why I love Izzy, and he can go out there and talk his trash. And, like, I enjoy that stuff. I think maybe it's the wrestling fan in me.
All right, let me ask you this about Izzy.
Yeah.
All right, you're media now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're involved in, and this was during COVID, or the Zoom press. It was like a press conference. You know, it's like what the NFL guys did.
Yeah.
So all the media calls in, and we're doing a Zoom with Izzy for an upcoming fight. And during the entire interview, he's signing his trading cards.
Yeah.
Never looked up. Really wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Give me your thoughts as a media person.
I mean, that's definitely not respectful. You know, it definitely would piss you off, you know.
And it did.
Yeah.
Me.
Like, that's something that, I mean, if with anything, like, when we go do media, when I'm on the other side and talking to reporters or whatever it is, like, there's definitely respect. You have to be respectful and keep up with your attention. And so, like, that's.
And same for the media, because yeah. I've seen media people, like, ask a question and then they look if Brady's ready yet.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about that. With Brady, but.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's definitely, like, it'll be annoying. But, like, it's just, I can understand. I can, like, not like you and understand what you bring.
Sure.
Sport,
oh, it's
and
two
enjoy,
different things. Right.
You know, and enjoy that aspect of it. So, like, I'm excited for him to be back in action soon, and see him compete. I think that last fight, a lot of people didn't like what he did. You know, that's a funny thing. When you're champion, people expect you to go knock everyone out,
right,
and go beat everybody up. They don't like you to win by points, which is what I realize. And if you win by points, you're like, boo, that other person right. should have won. Where it's like, there's lots of ways to skin a cat. What's the saying? Is that what it is?
Every MMA fighter wants to see a Clay Guida, Diego Sanchez fight.
Yeah.
Rock 'em, sock 'em. And it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
And the little bit of jiu-jitsu that I did, I want to see jiu-jitsu stuff. I want to see ground game. There's a big grappling tournament tournament next weekend in Vegas. We're going to it.
Yeah.
But the common everyday MMA fan is still boxing.
Yeah.
And that's what they know, and that's what they want to watch. They want to watch the big knockouts and not some exciting ground game.
Yeah. And it's like the striking, like leg kicks. And I can't wait till we get out of this rat hole of you got a takedown, oh, you win the round. Right. I'm like, come on. Like,
no, for sure.
Like, I can't wait till we evolve past that and see, like, there's so much nuance to even just being on the ground. Like, when you get someone on the ground, like, punish them.
Right. No, you got to
do, you know, like, do damage. Like,
and that's why I've always said the GSP, Matt Hughes, Habib.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Hughes in his day would take you to the ground and go and Google when he fought Sean Sherk in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean is a friend, and I'm still going to say his face looked like hamburger meat. And go and you go and look at it, and you tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
GSP would take you to the ground and hold you down, and he would win by points.
Yeah.
But GSP is considered the GOAT, and Matt's not.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch Matt fight. I'd much rather go to a Matt fight at the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, than a GSP fight. So,
yeah, that's my take. Yeah, I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for these fights coming up. They haven't disappointed me in a long time. Like I said, other than that one fight that we won't talk about. But, yeah, I'm fired up.
Good fights this weekend. Tune in UFC on ESPN next week. Steve and I will be out in Vegas. We need to figure out what the two of you are going to do, whether it's going to be here at the station or whatever. If you're in town, I don't know what your plans are. But we'll put it out. You know where? At knockoutradio.com. The site is up. We're still doing some fixing, but you can get on there. You can email us. You can look at the content. Maybe we'll have some stories written by these two guys, if I'm allowed to call them the guys. And I don't know. In today's
you can
world.
Call, you can call me.
Okay, I appreciate it. But hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on the website, and we'll see you next week. This is Knockout Radio. It has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. See everybody next week.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
E-Tech e-bikes provides the best in quality, technology, innovation, power, and luxury. Eco-friendly, foldable, and powered by Baofeng Motors, Shimano Brakes, Tesla, and Samsung Batteries, E-Tech bikes are ideal for commuting, recreation, mountain, or sport use. Built for optimal power and energy efficiency, E-Tech e-bikes have up to 100-mile range and speeds up to 30 miles per hour. Use our discount code 100OFF today at etechbikes.com. That's E-T-E-K bikes.com.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.